Run the track!
Welcome to Foster the Podcast.
Oh, no!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world-famous Foster the Podcast. This is the official show of stand-up comedian Justin Foster and professional life coach Christy Marie Royster. Every week, we bring to you the craziest stories, the best interviews, pop culture news, also dating and relationship advice. Brand new episodes every Monday, available on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes, search for Foster the Podcast on there. Also, check out our website, fosterthepodcast.com, where you can download past episodes, you can email Christy and I, and donate to the show. Also, for my stand-up tour dates, visit my website, justincomic.com. And now, enjoy this week's episode.
Interesting experience in the belly room, Comedy Store.
Was that your first time at the Comedy Store?
No.
Okay.
Been to the Comedy Store quite a bit. First time in the belly room at an open mic type event.
Yeah. It gets weird.
The host guy, I think Eric.
Okay.
Was on acid.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, what time did the show start?
Like 10:30.
At night?
I got there like 11:30, 11:45. Uh-huh. It's been going for over an hour.
Okay.
It was a mess, dude.
The host was on acid.
Like, no one really got to do a set because he would just go up there. It was his show from start to finish.
Right.
And I go up there, and I thought he was just an open micer. I didn't know he was a host.
Right.
And I was like, man, this guy's been up on here a long time. I went back down to, like, the OR, watched a little bit, went back up. He's still on stage.
Oh.
And John Toll's there. And I was like, man, this guy's been up here a long time. And he's like, oh, it's his show. And I was like, oh, okay.
Right.
And he's like, and he's on acid. I was like, oh.
Welcome to L.A.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Oh my gosh.
So,
yeah. That's how they get down here, man.
Oh man.
I was telling there's a show that they do once a month called Performing Under the Influence, and it's all these comics, they do a set, like regular set, right? And then there's an intermission. Everyone does, they get super drunk. They do acid, they do coke, they smoke weed, whatever their drug of choice is, and they come back and they have to redo another set. But under the influence, and it's just a shit show.
Do they get to recycle jokes?
They can. You have that option, but most of them forget what they've told the first
right.
half of the set.
And where is this at?
This is in the basement of a haunted hotel in Hollywood.
Nice. Man, how do you get booked on that?
You have to have an extreme addiction. You have to...
right.
They have to have... They go through your rap sheet. It's like, he qualifies. His credits are okay.
Yeah. His credits are 1 DWI in 2005. Tyson Fiverr is our guest today. Thanks for coming, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All the way from the hometown.
Yeah.
And so you're out here visiting.
I'm out here, yeah, for a little over a week, about 12 days.
Christy, awesome. Tyson's my buddy from Dallas, and we used to run around and drink a lot of beer and do comedy and get into some trouble out there. You have a brewery show, though, don't you?
I do. I have my own little comedy series. It's a tour. Nothing like it's ever been done in the United States before. It's a comedy tour that goes to different breweries. So it's a different show every week, and we just tour breweries. And it's more of an event, because with your ticket, you get three beers, you get a glass, you get a comedy show, you get to tour the brewery. It's just picked up a lot of steam and a big following. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it sells out pretty much every show.
That's awesome.
Happens every fall.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we're going to kick it off again in September.
What are the audiences like, though? Are they cool? Are they drunk and rowdy? Are they respectful?
Oh, they vary, man.
Because you know how the Dallas, they love their beer, their breweries.
Yeah, they vary. And it depends on the venue, because sometimes we're in a huge warehouse.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes, like up in Franconia and McKinney, Texas, we're 150 people squeezed in a very, very small space. And everyone's hot and sweaty, but having a great time.
Right.
And so, yeah, it varies.
Now, were you a part of the, because this was after I left. Were
yes.
you a part of the comedy pub crawl thing that they did?
Yes, I've been on every single one.
Okay, explain that to Christy and I, because I just heard like bits and pieces about it on Facebook.
This is another thing that's unique to the Dallas scene that hasn't happened anywhere else in the country.
They all have themes, by the way.
Yes. Hey, we're coming, bringing the heat. literally in Texas. So the pub crawl is, if you're familiar with a standard pub crawl where like people dress up as Santa Claus or whatever and they go like bar to bar.
Right.
So basically the premise here is there's a different comedy show at a different bar. But the kicker is it's the same comics doing different material at each bar. So
okay.
you get to see three comics, three or four comics at each bar doing different material, and they switch up the order. There's a different host at each show. So that's why I said three to four comics. There's the three main comics on the show, different host at each bar, and people just follow them. And by the fourth one, nobody is even close to sober or paying attention to the comics on stage.
Right,
it's
right.
just like, because it starts at 8 and it goes to like midnight.
Okay.
And it's
just the hottest mess.
Yes. But it is awesome. It's got sponsorship. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
I bet the first show is like everyone's like doing their like showcase material and it's really, and then by the right. last one, they're just like, you know what? Fuck you.
Yes. It's like the worst crowd work they can think of. Yeah. It's like, hey, you two guys over there playing Pokemon. Well, Pokemon wasn't around there, but yeah, you two guys.
Right.
Yeah.
You two guys are dumb.
You two guys texting over there. So this one time.
There's nothing worse than like a really drunk comedian trying to do crowd work. It just turned so aggressive so fast.
Yes. Yeah. And as, because I've been on every single one, the drinks just, everyone's just passing drinks to you.
Sure.
Like, just trying
right,
to
right.
get the comedians as lit as possible.
Nice and
right.
hammered.
Yeah. yeah. And our buddy Paul Varghese does that. He's like yes. the king of that, though.
Yes.
Because
yes.
he could perform blackout drunk, man.
Yeah.
He could do it.
Autopilot.
Yeah. Yeah. He just goes in autopilot and he knocks it out. Like, I just become, like, it's very visible when I've been drinking on stage. I used to not think that, right? But then I went back and I listened to, like, some old tapes and saw some old videos. I was like, oh, it was a hot mess.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, never mind.
I had a little bit of that last night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. We were, I was with Justin Martindale and we were in West Hollywood all day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I could blend in.
Right.
There.
Right.
And,
is that why you're wearing your foam green shorts and matching flip flops?
Yes. I think this is what I was wearing yesterday. I had to pack really light to come out here.
Right. I just like you in Texas picking out your West Hollywood outfit for the day. Oh, this will get them.
Boom. I'm drinking free today.
Yeah.
So I was drinking free in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then I went to go do a couple mics and I was just definitely slow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
It's
timing a little
I
off.
I was like, I'm not even making these open mic comics laugh.
Oh, yeah. That's rough.
Also, it's LA.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't laugh even if you were
no.
Somewhere. Oh, well. dude, Tyson and I, man, we used to run around and do shows. There was the Mason Bar that was in the basement of a club.
Okay.
They would do a comedy show there, and it was just like hot, like models and like, just gorgeous dudes over there, and it was like the best. It was one of my favorite shows.
It was in Uptown Dallas, which is a prestigious part of the city. A lot of it's where the beautiful young people with money go
yeah.
and hang
okay.
out.
Yeah,
and it was like a pub, but it had a basement underneath that was a perfect comedy club. You had to go down these creepy stairs. It had a bar, a bathroom, a stage, a sound system. It had like skull creepy wallpaper on it.
Yeah,
nice. It was dark and had a little
yeah.
smoky smell to it. It was a perfect comedy club. And we went nuts in there.
Yeah. Because it was perfect because it was like all the beautiful people up top. And then we got the scumbags run the basement.
Yeah. They'd come down and look at us and be like,
I'm glad I went to college.
Yeah. It was.
It's a guy with two models on his arm. Like, I'm glad I sell banking shit or whatever. I don't know.
Banking shit. Absolutely. Got to sell that.
Yeah, just a guy in a white suit selling banking shit. That's what I think of successful people.
Yeah, you know what happened to that place?
What?
They flattened it.
Why?
That whole block.
Because comedy took over?
Yeah. Yes. They were like, oh, you guys have a comedy show. No, remember there was like these little cottage businesses around there? Around the Mason Bar?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the little storefronts.
Yeah, yeah, they flattened that whole block.
Oh.
And I think they're building a high rise.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah, it's gone.
That was the best thing about performing comedy in Dallas was like the clubs are great, but it was always like those weird bar shows and stuff. Like we used to perform in the back of a Jamaican restaurant.
Yes.
Back in the day called
Sounds Delicious.
Taste of the Islands.
Taste of the Islands.
Taste of the Islands.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to do that.
It was
that very authentic Texas Jamaican food. That's what you go there for.
I didn't even think about that.
Delicious.
When I think of Texas, I think of our homemade Jamaican food.
Plano, Texas. That's what you think of when you want the island food. Yeah. You want to taste the islands? Plano, Texas. In a strip mall.
In a strip mall.
So authentic.
Right. Yeah, the lights kind of flickering.
That's what I love about you, Christy. Is like, I've lived there my entire life, and I've never put together how ridiculous it is that there was a Jamaican restaurant in Plano, Texas.
Hey, read the Yelp reviews. People think say it's all
the food was great. Yeah. Food was fire. But
well, you don't have any other Jamaican food to
that's true.
Hold it up again.
That's true. We're like, oh man, this is the only.
As far as the people in Texas are concerned,
it wasn't even Jamaican food.
They just sold burgers and
that's
fries.
That's why. When the reviews say the best in DFW, literally, it's the only option. Right. So it is the best.
Absolutely.
In DFW.
We were talking off air about, I wanted you to hear this story. So we used to do the Funniest Comic in Texas competition.
Yes.
And it was a big deal every year. And then, I never won that, by the way. I did it like 4 years in a row, and I always came in like second, third, or fourth, but I never actually won it. And then I moved away, and I kind of want to move back there for just like a year and a half just to see if I can watch me get like ninth place.
You don't even place. You don't even get invited in. Like, right, guys, I live here now. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't even get to the semifinals. Like, damn it. What have you went?
I've done it. I think I did it every year except the first year. I remember you were in the finals. Mm-hmm. I went and watched. That's the year Paul won, right?
Yeah.
He was the first winner.
Paul won, yeah.
Paul Varghese. So I've been it every year after that. And, it might have been like 2013. Mm-hmm. We had a round. I made it to the semifinals. And Paul and I went out just having fun. It was at the Addison Improv.
After the show, you guys went out?
Yeah, you know, we can go to Pete's and basically drink for free.
Yeah.
Pete's Piano Bar.
So there's a piano bar right across the hall from the Improv out there.
Okay.
So,
right.
Yeah.
We've told a couple stories
about
that on this podcast.
Yeah, we have talked about
you ended up there pantsless once, I believe.
That has happened. Yes, that has happened.
Just reminded me of another pantsless comic there. We can talk about that later, maybe. So anyway, we went.
Justin.
And it was.
You just forgot.
It was another Justin.
I passed the torch before I left.
So we went and stayed up all night. And before I did comedy full time, I used to teach little kids gymnastics.
Okay.
During the day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, kids 2 to 5 in Fort Worth, Texas. And so
you teach them how to like tumble and stuff.
Yeah, like somersaults and back walkovers, all that.
Oh wow,
basic
cute.
Stuff. Yeah, and so and at this time I had other employees with me, so I was super hungover.
Right.
I took all the equipment to the. It was a mobile business, so we went to daycares and we show up at the daycare, and then my worker that day, his name was Matt. I was like, "Oh, Matt, I'm not feeling good, man." And I was, "You're gonna have to take over for a little bit." And I went and I puked inside the daycare, like 2 or 3 times. Like,
oh,
I was like,
"No,
Matt, you gotta take over again." And I run to the bath. Once it was outside. Outside the daycare.
Oh, God. I've thought it's some really bad places, but I think a daycare is probably the
worst. Yeah, there's something just wrong about it.
Mom's coming in holding the kid's hand. He's like, "Caden, step over the puke. Come on, let's go."
"Mommy, what's wrong with that man?"
He must know your dad.
Tyson's got vomit on his foam green shorts.
Hungover somersaults are not a good idea.
Ooh, that's rough, dude.
Yeah, so that was...
There's something about like going, like we've talked about like being hungover, like trying to wait tables and stuff before, like sitting in an office. Is this about going to teach kids
right.
jumping jacks?
I'm sure it smelled amazing.
That's what I was going to say is what you didn't know that day is that you smelt like nothing but booze.
Because
you never know you smell like booze, but everyone around you sure as shit knows that you drank the night before.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah,
you always think you're killing it and everyone's just like, "Cool, what'd you do last night?" Like, how does everybody know?
I know. We had a running joke like the kids come up and give me a hug and be like, "Oh, you smell like daddy today."
That's hilarious, man. I miss those days. I don't miss like the throwing up in daycare days, but running around in Dallas with you guys. And that's funny. Like everything we've talked about this show so far, like the theme is we got really drunk and we told comedy, or then we told comedy and we got really drunk and then got really sick.
Yeah. Yep. That's the cycle.
So you were on American Ninja Warrior.
Yes, 2 seasons on American Ninja Warrior.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
How did that happen? They saw you teaching kids gymnastics.
Yes. They're like, "Oh, man, we need a puker on the show." We haven't had one yet. So I've worked in fitness. It's going to be in some capacity for like 18 years, something like that. And everything from personal training, fitness competitions, all that jazz. And then I was, I'm getting tired of this. So I kind of moved into like calisthenic training.
Mm-hmm.
And that led into Ninja Warrior because that's basically what you do.
Okay.
And so it's a big reality show. I know I hate to break people's hearts. They're like, no, it's the greatest athletic competition. It's a reality show. And so I got cast for the show, and then did a bunch of interviews. I did pretty well on the show. They brought me back another year. Didn't do too well the second year. And then it's just grown from there. Like, the show, American Ninja Warrior, is the number one primetime show, summertime show now. It passed the passed the, like, the Bachelor and Bachelorette held that title for like 10 years.
American
like
Ninja Warrior beat the Bachelor.
Yeah,
no shit. Yeah. What was it like being on that show? Like, what did you have to do?
It's the toughest obstacle course, like, mm-hmm. in the world. Like, they bill it as that, and it's funny to read people like comments on videos. They're like, I haven't worked out in 10 years and I can do this. No.
I was gonna say, because it looks, I'm not gonna, it looks, when you watch it, it looks like you're like, I could probably do that.
No.
Yeah. Nah.
You can't. Yeah, if you get a chance, go watch a taping live. Like, everything, one thing you don't get on TV is how big everything is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So something you may think looks simple, like, oh, they're just kind of like swinging on monkey bars. So yeah, but you're like 20 feet in the air above a pool of 5 feet of water.
Right.
Right.
That's cold. Like, you don't want to fall down.
Right.
In there. The cameras don't always capture that, in my opinion, of how big everything is. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult, and you get people like, oh, well, you get to practice it. No, you don't get to practice it. You sit and wait sometimes 10, 12 hours for your turn to run the course.
Oh, really?
And it's just one shot. That's it.
Never get to do a run through the course before they
film. No, you don't touch anything.
Oh, yeah. Shit. See, yeah. I thought that they'd like train for it.
Well, we can train for it at our gyms across the country like that, but like an actual Ninja Warrior course, you don't touch it till you're competing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like, you don't even see the course till the night you're supposed to run.
But you show up.
Yeah. So you just show up and you start to look at it. And of course, there's rumors and we all talk. And we're like, okay, we got this obstacle. But it's different just hearing about it versus seeing it. And then you got to come up with your game plan. And
I would love to see the episode where they get together like 50 of the overweight, out of shape trolls that are on the internet saying that they could do it no problem, and they just let those big bastards run the thing down.
That like, would be.
I think they should have just one episode, and I think everyone would shut the hell up forever.
Yeah,
that's really funny.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
America. Just like, all right.
Yeah,
we'll go for it.
American
then.
Ninja Warrior, like Midwest edition.
Yeah,
just take all the trolls and like, all right, you do it.
Then wipe out calls. You're like, yeah, you stole our idea.
Yeah.
Right.
That's called wipe out. So how did you do on it? How far did you make it?
First year, and I had no ninja training at all. It's just my fitness background. I actually did really well. I fell on the city qualifier in Dallas. If you want to watch a rerun about 19 minutes in, you can catch me. I fell on obstacle number 5 out of 6, which is really good.
That's great.
Right before the warped wall.
What was it?
It's a thing called the ring toss. You just hold these two free rings, and you climb up and down these pegs that just basically hang out of a board.
Okay.
And you're holding.
Oh, you hold onto the ring, and
you hold onto
the
ring. You
got to
take it with you. Yeah. You can't touch any of the pegs or anything that they're mounted to. You just can only hold these rings.
Right.
You just gotta go all the way across. It's about 20 feet across, and it's different patterns. So you go basically up, down, and then you get to the other side over water. I had no ninja training, so I hadn't worked on grip strength or anything, and.
I wouldn't want to do just that.
I had stumbled through all the obstacles and got there, and I was just hyping up the crowd. I was wearing a shirt that said, "Oh my God, Becky," and people love that. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So they were doing Sir Mix-a-Lot, you know,
lines
as I was getting people hyped up. What people didn't know is like I was just really trying to rest. I was like, "Come on, guys!"
Rest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when a comic says, "Give it up for the staff" while they're thinking of their next joke.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was doing. Yeah.
Tyson's doing crowd work up there on the monkey bars. Where'd you guys meet at? You guys are dumb texting.
Yeah. And then the second year, this is another little Ninja Warrior tidbit. Rain or shine, it goes on.
Yeah, I'm assuming that. Yeah.
So, because they're on TV schedule. And they don't have money to be like, oh, we'll just do it tomorrow.
Right.
No, tomorrow they already got something else planned.
Yeah.
And so I was in Houston next year, and they didn't realize how humid Houston was. And everything's over water, and you can just see waves of just
the steam.
Humidity and steam coming out. So everything was wet. So it was horrible for everybody.
Yeah.
So I fell really fast. I fell an obstacle too. I just slipped. It was wet.
Yeah.
A lot of big names on the show like fell really early.
What about like behind the scenes stuff of American Ninja Warrior? Did people get along? Was there any drama?
The community is really, really supportive. Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's very little drama because what you'll hear a lot of people say is it's us against the course, not us against each other.
Right.
So everyone's really, really supportive. And for the most part, everybody's like super nice and supportive, and they don't have any like douchebags.
So,
like,
yeah, I'm better right. than you, yep. man.
Right.
Yeah.
So nothing stupid or crazy happened.
Yeah. No. But there's the funniest, the hardest part of the show, like someone for like a star of the show, like Casey Catanzaro, is the venom she takes online. Like, you just, somebody just does a post like, Ninja Warrior does, see Katie on this episode. If you just read, it's all, Casey's ugly. Casey sucks. She looks like she got punched in the face. Like, yeah. It's just pure venom. I was like, this girl's amazing.
Right.
And she's super nice in person. And it's just like hot fire venom.
That's pretty much any female athlete, though.
Yeah. I think
is
so.
It always comes back to what she looks like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never. It's never her ability. It's right. always like what she looks like. Yeah.
So
yeah.
much about Serena Williams is just, she looks like a man. Right. It's like, she would kick your ass. Yeah. Shut up.
I want to see her fight Wendy Williams.
Did you guys see the, this kind of like goes into what we were saying. Did you guys see the Playboy model who got in trouble?
Yes.
She, I don't know if you guys have any of you saw this. The headline was, Playboy model, body shame naked woman on Snapchat and now may face the police. She basically, this beautiful in shape Playboy bunny was, it took a selfie of her standing behind a woman off in the distance, this kind of an overweight naked woman in the shower.
At the gym
at LA Fitness. She does like the, she does like this weird, like shocked face and was like, if I can't unsee this, then you can't either. And then posted it on
wow.
the internet. Yeah. So now she, she's in a lot of trouble. It's,
no shit, yeah. You're in a lot of trouble. Who thinks you can do that and have it be okay as any type of personality in entertainment whatsoever?
I don't understand.
And there's a lot of people fighting back. It's like, well, it's not like you've never whatever the hell. And it's like, yeah, but I'm not a celebrity on anything.
Right. At
you
all.
Know what I mean?
Exactly.
And if I was, I know that I would lose whatever it is I had, whatever right. backing it was that I had.
Right.
If I posted something like that, you posted a naked picture of another human being
right.
on the internet.
Right.
I don't give a shit what the caption is. That's insane that you thought that was something okay to do.
How do you not even think that in 2016, that's not going to come back to bite you in the ass?
Right. Yeah.
Fat shaming when you're a beautiful Playboy model.
Right.
Like, she got banned from the gym and she lost her job at the Playboy Radio or whatever.
Right.
And then she tweeted out an apology, but it's like,
who cares? Right. We all know you're an asshole.
Right.
And no one cares.
In all fairness,
oh,
the,
no, here we go.
Was,
here we go.
Mr. Fitness.
Was the Playboy model naked too?
No.
Was it apples for apples? Like
no.
nip for nip?
No.
Like no?
She was wearing like a nice like Nike like low cut thing.
That's where she went wrong. Right. She needed to be in the nude too. If she's going to take a picture
of... Absolutely not, because she's a Playboy model. Everyone's already seen her naked. We can all go online right now and see her naked. That's her choice. You can't take a naked picture of someone against their will and post it on the internet.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. But, you know, she could have done a better job.
Like
with
an unphotoshopped version of her, too?
Yeah.
She wouldn't have done that, though.
Well, yeah, that was her problem.
Because she's the worst.
She's the worst. And I don't like, and I'll be honest, and besides that, a naked picture of somebody in the gym goes beyond that. But you know what I don't like? And this is very common with comics, so there's probably someone going to get mad at me. I don't love when my friends that are comics take pictures of people sleeping on airplanes, taking pictures of people sleeping
right.
on the bus, because I know that I'm like one fucking idiot snapshot. That's me, like all the time. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
And I don't want to end up on somebody's Snapchat because I'm drooling on Delta Airlines on
right.
flight. You know what I mean?
Right.
So here's another thing. Since it was on Snapchat, if this Playboy model is getting in trouble, everybody that screenshotted it, now they know who else has a copy of this picture. Are they going to get in trouble too for copying it and sharing it?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have Snapchat. I don't know the rules. I know you're not allowed to take a screenshot, right?
No, you can.
Okay.
But it'll, so say if I took a picture of you naked, right? And
right.
And I put it on Snapchat.
Which, and that's after the podcast,
and then,
but yeah.
Yeah. And then all of our comic friends screenshot it.
Uh-huh.
I get a notification of every single person who screenshotted it.
Oh, okay.
So I know who they are.
Right. So if you send a dick pic to a girl, right?
Yeah.
And she takes a screenshot because it disappears after you send it, right?
Right.
Yeah. After they open it and look at it.
But if she screenshots it, it notifies you that she screenshotted it?
Yeah, it'll say, you know,
so-and-so took a screenshot.
Yeah, so-and-so took a screenshot. And then it'll stay in your conversation. I don't know how long, but
okay.
if they screenshot it, you get a notification. And
now, can she get in trouble by Snapchat for doing that?
I don't know.
Or can you just be like, hey...
So I'm curious if the originator is getting in trouble. What about everyone that else?
I don't know. I know she's the one taking most of
right.
the heat.
I don't know. I'm gonna fight for her.
Do you do? Yeah, I know
why?
You are.
Why?
Did you? Because
why?
He's.
I love titties.
Tyson, did you?
There's so many titties. There's like a million other girls on Playboy, and you can look at their boobs.
Well, not anymore. Well,
and they're less terrible.
Oh, yeah, they're covered up anymore.
Playboy's right. Just the articles now.
Yeah.
That's right.
Did you, explain this on your bio, the official comic of LeBaire, Dallas 2012? Please, first of all, explain what LeBaire is to Christy, and explain how you became the official comic of that in 2012.
LeBaire is a place that you may want to go if you're a big fan of WWF wrestling and like sausage.
It's like a male strip club,
It's a male strip club.
Okay.
So you can go and see all the banana hammocks you want up close and personal, right there. And you just...
Why does wrestling come into play?
So I guess you've never been to one of these strip clubs?
Just because of that they look like male wrestlers?
No, because it's just a big, huge production. Like, it's not like it's not like...
They throw dudes off ladders.
Break chairs and shit. It's really aggro.
It's not like if you just go to a regular gentleman's club where there's girls dancing on the poles and stuff like that. If you go to the male strip club, like, they do performances.
Okay, Magic mic shit.
Yeah. Okay. Like, there's like smoke and sometimes fire and like dance routines and like
costumes.
Yeah,
women
costumes.
Love a build up.
Yeah.
Right, women love a build up.
Right. Yeah. They could just come out stage and just start dancing. You
right.
Guys
you
be
can't
like,
just show a dick. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not that great. It's fine.
So they come out like cooking and making the women dinner.
Just handing out roses.
Think about
you're pretty.
Remembering your birthday.
Yeah.
Changing a diaper, putting the kid to sleep.
I love this guy. He's going to be such a great father.
20s are just raining down on him. Man, maybe we're onto something here.
Yeah.
There you go.
Holy shit.
Revamp.
Call it dad bod. And it's just... Do it.
Male strip club where you, like, instead of like giving them lap dances, you just rub their feet and feed them dark chocolate.
How's your day been?
That's the name of it. How's your day been? Male strip club review.
Nice. I think we got something there.
Dude, copyright that shit.
Yeah, trademark it, whatever you got to do. Lock it up.
Oh, that's hilarious. It'll be like a little daycare. Tyson can do tumbling with the
there
kids
you go.
when he's not too hungover.
Yeah, a little puke bucket in the corner.
Love it.
Let's do it.
So you were dancing there.
We won't talk about that.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So I know a lot of guys that work there.
Okay.
Just from being in the industry.
Sure.
And so they wanted to have a comic host a special night. Man, I don't even remember what it was called. What'd you say that was? 2012?
Yeah, 2012. I wasn't gonna let you slide on that, by the way.
Probably need to take that off my credits list.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's on your website.
I know. Yeah.
As soon as I saw, I was like, because I wanted to plug your website at the end, and I was like, wait a minute, what? I never knew this.
So I hosted, I remember the name. It was a special show, but they wanted to have a comedian host it to kind of lighten it a little bit.
Right.
And so basically I just hosted, did a little bit of jokes, did a little bit of crowd work. And then the guys come out and did their routine, mm-hmm. got their money or whatever. And then I would have another mic, and sometimes I would go out into the crowd and give it to one of the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get to talk to like one of the guys, and I would just kind of do crowd work and make it, you know, lighthearted.
Right. Yeah.
So it was just a special change in the show and just stretch it out.
How'd the show go?
They were usually pretty good.
Yeah.
It was like on an off night. It was like a Tuesday or Wednesday.
Mm.
So it was just something to try and, you know, instead of being dark, try and get some ladies in there. So it wasn't the biggest crowd. But,
okay.
Yeah.
So they would ask questions to the dancers?
Yeah. So they
What might one ask a dancer?
I would just come up with random stuff, and usually it was not stuff that is safe for work. It'd be like, so Jesse, you got to see Caden up there on stage. What'd you like about his performance? And she would probably say something dumb, and then I would twist it into something dirty,
something sexual.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And then everybody
like
woo,
dick.
Yeah,
that's everything.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I like the way he. He twirled his dick.
His dick.
He was so graceful with his dick.
So they gave you the honorary award of official comic of LeBaire, Dallas 2012.
Yeah, I was the only one.
Well,
so.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet those guys make pretty good money, huh?
You know, honestly, if you put it on the scale next to the women, no.
Really?
Yeah. Because what's different, a lot of... I guess they talked about this on Magic Mike a little bit. So I did see the Magic Mike, not the XL. I didn't go that far.
You didn't see the sequel?
No.
You just didn't commit?
Okay. No, I didn't commit full force. Like, the guys, like, have to work, like, shifts. It's not like the girls where they can just kind of come in whenever.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of clubs aren't like two, but, like, the girls can, if they want to come in later in the night, they'll just pay a higher house fee. And then they can only work a few hours. Or if they don't want to pay any house fee, a lot of clubs, they'll get there super early, like at 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Have to stay till close or whatever. So the guys, it's not like that. Like, you have a shift, like a schedule. Like,
oh.
you're working at the Gap. Yeah.
Oof.
And so I think it's the way it used to be is you had to do five shifts a week.
Okay.
It was 4 or 5. Can't remember how many days they were closed. And it was 4 or 5. And so there's times where my buddies were telling me, like, man, I was there 8 hours and like 10 people came through the door.
Damn.
Like on a Monday or Tuesday or whatever.
Well, so, I would think that instead of having like a week-long crowd.
Right.
It's probably more people like sell someone's birthday or divorce or bridal shower. Like they're going in for an event. And I would think that women buy less like lap dances and are doing less champagne room than guys are doing when
that's
they
true.
Go in with different. Them, right? You know
that's
what I
true.
Mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Here's another thing that's different, too. It's to expand on your point. The women aren't really going there just as like, after work, like stress relief, like a guy
right.
might say.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
So they'll go there to see maybe one specific guy,
uh-huh.
and they're only spending money on one specific guy.
Okay.
Right.
So
yeah.
there could be a night where there's only 10 people come through the door, but one guy makes
all
the money.
Because right. she's there to see him. Yeah,
yeah. her and right. her friends or whoever. And then you just kind of, you know, just like you're a bartender, you develop your regulars.
Right.
Like they develop regulars and just like,
yeah,
they come
true.
In and.
Yeah, I could
boom,
totally
boom, boom.
See that being the case.
Some chick's not going to get off work like selling banking shit and being like, yeah, I
got to
wind down
shit.
At Le Bear to look at
right.
some sausage.
It's Monday night. Let's do, or like after the bar, like always a group of dudes like, whatever, let's go to the strip club.
Yeah.
And like, that's, I don't think it's as often that women on a Monday night are like, fuck Chili's happy hour.
Yeah.
Let's go to the strip club.
No, right. You nailed it. That's exactly how
no,
it
that's
is.
True. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Especially because you like imagine a Monday afternoon at a male strip club. Oh, God. Jesus.
Yeah. From the ones in Dallas, at least, that I know people that work at, they probably still work there. They're not really open during the day.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Think of that overhead.
No lunch buffet.
No lunch buffet. Yeah.
No lunch buffet at the male.
What would it be
club?
Instead of legs and eggs?
Oh yeah. What would it be? Just the brats and tots.
bring your kid day. Brats and tots. Bring your kid to the club. Meet your new daddy. Brats and tots.
Oh, yucky.
Well, we used to do that. There was a strip club. They would do legs and eggs. It was a breakfast buffet. And
yeah.
after the bars closed. We would go there, and sometimes I didn't even know that women were dancing. The breakfast
yeah.
buffet was so – they had, like, an executive chef that would make omelets,
mm-hmm.
And you know, so you had, like, an omelet bar, and you had steaks and everything. And we would go up there, and we would sober up before we went home.
Yeah.
It was the best. And we would also be like, oh, yeah, women are also dancing.
Yeah.
The strip clubs in Florida are the same way. Men went there. Women went there. It's, like, where you went after the bar.
Right.
And everyone, like, ate – there was, like, actual food, and you ate and drank, and everyone hung out there.
Yep. There's a very famous strip club in Fort Worth called The Clubhouse, and it's owned by the guys from Pantera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why whenever there's like Ozfest or like whatever big concert, everyone goes there. But so they do this thing called insomnia, which is always
yeah.
weird to me. So like when the bars close at 2, they kick everybody out. And then from like 3 to like 7 a.m., they're open, but they don't serve any alcohol.
Right.
So it's just weird, like... I don't know what the how would you describe the clientele? Like,
so I've been to Insomnia.
Oh, you have been to Insomnia.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm always leaving when there's a line of those people coming in. I'm like, why? Go home.
Back in the day, I'll give you a little insight on, man, you're learning a lot about me. When I first moved to Dallas,
mm-hmm.
I used to hang out with a lot of guys that were, I owned a personal training studio.
Right.
And I used to hang out with a lot of professional bodybuilders. And our normal like Saturday night was like go to dinner. And then go to Silver City because some of them had girlfriends that worked there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strip club.
Strip club, yeah.
Okay.
That would close at 2. And then Insomnia didn't start till 4.
Right.
So there's an after-hour place called 7 that was down by the Lizard Lounge. And that would be like the 2 to like 3, 3:30 spot because they were in after-hours. And then we'd leave there and go to Insomnia at 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it's BYOB. like, because they can't sell alcohol or anything.
Oh, so you can bring alcohol
yeah,
in.
You can bring
gotcha.
Alcohol in.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And, you know, the girls are dancing. It's one where you, like, it's dark when you go in, but you got to bring your sunglasses because when you leave in the morning,
right.
it's yeah. just the That's sun's rough. Up. Oof. I think they close at 8:30 or 9 in the morning. They yeah. keep everybody out. And it's just,
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Just the.
Rough.
That'll wear you down.
For some reason, I didn't think that you could bring alcohol in there, and I thought people were just going. I'm like, why would you go to
like a strip club keg party?
Yeah. See, that makes sense.
I'm pretty sure it was BYOB.
Those poor girls probably made no money though, either, because the crowd was always like 18, 19, 20 year olds that, you know, they had X's on their. A lot of them had X's on their hands, and they were just like listening to music and shit.
And very eclectic crowd too.
Maybe more fun for the girls though, because everyone's not so. Sloshy pants.
So, and here's another thing to tie it back in. How I said we started at Silver City. Mm-hmm. So, like, the girls from other strip clubs would go there because they're done working.
Oh, they would get off working, and that was like the hangout.
So it's almost like an industry night.
Yes. So they would go party after they were done working.
So if you want to hook up with a stripper, the best way is to not go to the strip club. It's go to the Insomnia when they all get off work to wind down.
That's a good way. Don't be giving away my secrets.
Guys, it's like, I heard.
Some other people.
It's much
not me.
Cheaper.
Oh, that's funny. So are you dating back in Texas? You got any ladies out there?
Yeah, just, you know, dating and stuff.
Been on any bad dates lately?
No.
We're
pretty chill.
Yeah. Yeah, you usually go with, like, those low maintenance, like I've never seen you with, like, a high, chaotic, dramatic person.
Yeah. It's because we're old. Like, we've already passed all that, you know? We kind of know the age. No, us. Like, as far as we think somebody's interested in us and we find out they're, like, 22, we're like, oh, okay.
Justin's not like that. Yeah.
I haven't learned that lesson yet.
That's the opposite of what Justin is. You're going to have to speak singularly when you tell this next part of the story.
Like, one head's like, yeah, do this, but then your other head's like, no, we've gone down this road.
We know how this is.
Justin follows the first head.
Oh, man.
Not lately. I've been very well behaved.
You've been very well behaved.
Yeah.
All right.
But in the past.
Right.
Oh, yeah, man. I have slipped in the mud many times. The train has gone off the tracks.
Great way to put it.
Yeah. Everybody slips in the mud every once in a while.
Well, I found this question on Reddit that I thought was super interesting. It had a bunch of comments and stuff, and I wanted to bring it up on this show, and I would love for you to weigh in also.
Let's do it.
And Christy will probably tie it up at the end.
I always have opinions.
With the correct response. But this guy posted, he said, me and my ex of 6 months broke up recently, and I asked her to meet for closure, and she refused. I'm just not even going to finish it. Do you guys have any suggestions on how?
No, finish it. Finish the story.
Yeah, finish it. We need the full context here.
Do you guys have any suggestions on how I can get closure from her?
Okay.
Yeah, go away.
So we make sure I have this right, all the facts here. So they broke up.
6 months.
And then six months ago.
No, 6 months they dated for. She was his girlfriend for 6 months.
Oh, okay.
Right? They recently broke up. He wanted to have one last meet. He wanted to meet her to have closure, I guess, maybe give her back some things. I don't know what closure in this scenario means. She declined.
Right.
And now he wants to know how he can get closure in other ways.
Tyson? That dude's got problems.
Well,
6 months. He probably doesn't even know her middle name.
Right.
Like, you're just learning about somebody at 6 months.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he's like, he probably didn't even know what kind of car she drives.
Right.
And you're a fucking liar. You're not looking for closure.
Yes.
You wanted one more chance to get back together with her, and you thought if you could meet her face to face, you could somehow trick this poor girl into getting back together with you.
And that's
she
what I was
does
thinking.
Not want to be with you. Leave her alone. Closure is a myth. You get closure by letting her go, seeing what you can do differently as you move forward, and then moving on to a new relationship or some type of like self-betterment.
Right.
Move forward and absolutely knock it off. Right. Leave her alone.
Right. And it's been 6 months. Delete the 9 pictures you have of each other on your phone.
Correct.
Whatever, like travel toothbrush she's left at your place. Throw it away and you're done.
Right.
Where you're going, I thought you were going to give him a little more credit that he was not going to try and get back together with her. He's just like, let me try and hit it one more time.
No, he doesn't seem that slick.
Right.
No.
Yeah, it sounds more.
He's like, let me just try, you know, just
like closure, like goodbye sex.
Go back to the well one more time, maybe choke her a little bit. And then...
Yeah, that seems like the saddest sex in the world to me. Like, people that I've talked about, like, they know that they're breaking up, so they have goodbye sex. I don't think I could.
That does not sound like the saddest sex ever.
They're like tears involved.
Yeah. Right. Like, that's just, I don't know if I could.
It just makes it worse. Now you have to detach from the person all over again. Yeah. Knock it off.
Who does that?
Right.
I had a friend of mine. He broke up with, I think they were, I want to say it was his fiance. She came over one more time to get her stuff, and then they had like sex one more time.
And it was like soft, passionate,
well, I didn't
like
ask
tears.
Him what no, they did, but
get the details.
In my mind, I was like, I don't think that I could physically, like, I would be too upset.
Right.
She's got like a box of all her shit.
Right. To leave forever.
So, yeah. And you guys are going to have sex on the bed that's got like what? Like no sheets on it.
Yeah.
You know,
knock her box down. Give her right. Give her the good old fashioned hate F one more time.
Do you believe in do you guys believe in closure? Is that like a thing that you need? Is it something you have to do face to face?
Closure is not something you get from another person. Closure is something you do within yourself.
Mm.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't need it from somebody else.
So
sometimes it happens naturally, mm-hmm. And that's great. But other times when it's over, both people just need to know it's over.
So you're dating somebody for whatever length amount of time. You guys break up over the phone. You guys break up via text or email, whatever. You don't have to physically see that person for it to be over?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
No. It's done.
Okay.
And that other person is never... It's normally with people who like just like left you for another person or like whatever. Ooh, it's like those quick breakups that really leave people shattered. And they're like, and I just need to. But what you're really looking, you have to be honest with yourself about what you're looking for. And normally you're looking for an apology. Mm-hmm. You're looking for someone to say, you know what? I was wrong about this and I did this wrong. You're looking for all these things that the other person's never going to say to you.
Right.
So you're just going to sit down in another conversation with these expectations of something that's never going to happen. Oof. From the other person, or they would have contacted you by now to let you know those things.
Right.
You're never going to hear it from the other person, and it's just going to start a new fight, and you're never going to get that closure you're looking for. So my suggestion is, when you think you need closure from another person, really be honest with yourself about exactly what it is you're looking for. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to hit that bell. Dropping knowledge right there.
You.
Yeah, that was a very well-deserved bell.
Sorry.
That was a very well-deserved bell.
He was calling my name. I was like, man, I want to touch that bell so bad.
It was either you ring the bell or Chrissy was just going to drop the mic after that.
That was it.
That was awesome. Well, dude, welcome to California, man.
Yeah.
It's good to be here.
Do you have anything else fun planned while you're here?
I got two spots at the Comedy Store.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Yeah.
You need acid?
Why, you got some?
I know
a guy.
There.
You know a guy.
I know an after-hour strip club you can get it at.
From a male dancer. He's got it. His name's Leonardo.
That's so awesome, man. I'm glad that you're here, even though it's brief. I'm going to be in Texas at the first 2 weeks of August.
Yeah.
So we can run around out there to
grab some Jamaican food.
Just shut up, Christy.
Get that jerk chicken going on. It's the best in the Metroplex.
Delicious.
Yeah, it's the best in BFW. Tyson, how can people find you?
TysonTheComic.com. And those are my handles on Twitter, at TysonTheComic. My last name's hard to spell, so that's why I just did TysonTheComic.
TysonTheComic.com. Yeah. And there you can see, hopefully it hasn't been taken down by then, but you can see the official comic of LeBear Dallas 2012.
Yep.
Ooh.
You can hit up my Instagram, Facebook. I love internet stalkers, so come on.
Do you have some?
I haven't had a good one in a while.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not that active on Snapchat. Yeah, I'm more Instagram. I need to get more on the Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Here's what I do. When somebody asks me for my Snapchat, male or female, just to prove how Snapchat happy they are, I say, all I send is dick pics, so get prepared. And if they still say, add me, I'm like, okay, cool.
Okay, you know they're down?
Yeah.
Dude, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
The website one more time is TysonTheComic.com.
Yep.
So go check them out. For our show, visit FosterThePodcast.com. Go to Foster the Podcast on iTunes. Subscribe to the show on there. And then we have our live show, what's coming up for the Burbank Comedy Festival.
Woo!
The third annual live Foster the Podcast.
Damn right.
It's going to be Friday, August 19th at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. It's from 5 to 6 p.m. It's a free show. We're going to have special guests, and it's part of the Burbank Comedy Festival, which is our sponsors for this month and next month
awesome.
Of the show. So make sure you guys go to burbankcomedyfest.com, pick tickets up for the entire week, and we'll see you guys there this summer.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.